to be here this morning. As always, man, we just feel like this is home to us. When we come back to Lynchburg, we just always feel so welcome, just so loved, and it's just wonderful to be here. It's wonderful that Pete was able to come up this weekend and join us. He's got a busy schedule. Great to have our neighbor Dot with us this morning, and just being with all of you guys. It's awesome to be here. So it's wonderful thinking about how we got involved with VCF. I mean, like Pastor was saying, I remember Josh when he came to Liberty. I was telling Pete last night, he kind of went to the Yellow Pages, but I guess it wasn't the Yellow Pages. He went to the internet and was just looking for churches and kind of stumbled across VCF. And I remember the pastor and maybe your wife was the ones that were picking him up because he didn't have a car and brought him here, and just he fell in love with VCF. And when I came and visited during the COVID period, when we came back for the furlough period 3 years ago, we knew this was home when we're here in Lynchburg. So we love you guys. We appreciate you guys. We appreciate your support for us, for the ministry. Like Pastor said, partnership is a great thing. It really is. And we couldn't do what we're doing in Cameroon without having partners like you guys, without having churches backing us, without having that supportive prayer and things. Ministry in Cameroon couldn't go. We couldn't do it. So it's a huge part. And please, please know when missionaries stand up in front of your church, those that you support, those that you pray for, it's huge what you guys do for us. And it's wonderful. We're living testimonies for that partnership and the power of that partnership. So thank you guys so much. We are seriously so grateful for the love you pour out on us, pour out on our family. 3 years ago when we were here, we actually were kind of like in a limbo mode in our lives with the ongoing crisis that was going on in Cameroon that's still currently going on. We were kind of homeless. We had evacuated out of our normal area that we were living in Cameroon. We were living in the capital city, and we packed up everything before going or coming back here to America, sent it back up to our normal home with maybe the hopes of returning there but not knowing. So last time we were here, we didn't really have an idea what we were going to face or what we were going to get into when we went back to Cameroon, like where we're going to live, what we're going to do. And it was so wonderful as we went back. The Lord, within, I think, 2 weeks of searching, the Lord provided us a wonderful house. We moved just outside of kind of the danger zone, the northwest region, but close enough that gave us an opportunity that we could go in and out of those areas when it was safe for foreigners to go in. Well, it's not really safe anytime, but safe to go in and be a part of those things and activities going on. But it was just so wonderful seeing how the Lord provided, because we didn't have a clue with what we're going to go back to. And it was kind of a concern, but we always knew God takes care of everything, and he always provides for our needs. And there was never a worry, but there was always that concern at, what's it look like? What's it going to be? So after returning, we found that place, that house. It's about 35 minutes out of the northwest area. It gets us closer to the orphanage. It gets us closer to the ministry site, but out of the danger zone for ourselves, and allowing myself to go in and out when the days are safe or the weeks are safe, I could easily go in and out. Before that, we were living in the capital city, which was about 8 hours away. And so I'd make a journey to go up to Bamenda to visit the children's home. And as I'm going up, maybe 6-7 hours in the journey, I get a call that there's battles going on, there's gunshots, don't come this day. So I'd have to turn back around after 7 hours, whatever travel, and go back to town. So it's been good, being closer, being able to invest in the lives again and do what we're doing. And then also being close allows them to come out to us quite often as well, giving them an opportunity to come see us, to do things and things as well. But so it's really been a good thing. And being in a new town, everything was new to us. We spent 10, 12 years in an English zone. We were learning pidgin English, which is fun. I think we shared a little pidgin last time. Holly sang some pidgin in there that probably threw you off as you were listening. But now we're living in a French zone. We learned French when we first went to Cameroon back in 2004. But it kind of faded away a little bit. So now we're back in the French zone again. No pidgin really around. I mean, there is a little bit. But we got plugged into a local church, and that local church is a new church plant in the town. And it's a lot of people that have flooded over to this area that are displaced from the crisis zone. And it just made us feel like home there. We're with a lot of English-speaking Cameroonians, speaking pidgin again, and just people that we can relate to, that we know how their culture lives and things like that. So being able to be plugged into that church, getting opportunities to share, to preach, Holly does the children's ministry there, so it's just wonderful to be able to be plugged into that and just having lots of opportunities to just to be a part of a local church. Also, Holly started a neighborhood kids club in our neighborhood. And it's been interesting because the children of the town we're living in, it's called Mbuda, kind of a weird name, not Buddha, but Mbuda, has an M at the beginning. It's like you're liking food or something, you say Mbuda. So when you think of the Shilinskis and things, think of Mbuda. But in that town, we started a children's club, and over the past year, we're kind of like looking back just to see what we've done, and in the past year, we've reached, I think, over 120 kids with an average of 40 to 60 kids every week that come to this kids club. So it's been wonderful because a lot of these kids in that area are unreached. It's a very, in this section of Cameroon, it's very traditional. There is churches around, but it's not really, it's really an unchurched group of people there. So it's been wonderful planting those seeds in these little lives, seeing those seeds that are planted and starting to spur it up and grow, and just seeing these little lives change. So it's been a blessing for us to be a part of, blessing for Holly and even Jordan, Jude when he's up there, to be a part of that. And it's also exciting, another thing that we did when we moved to Mbuda is that we ended up shutting down our Bible school in Baminda, which was really sad, but because of the crisis going on and being an evening school, it just couldn't function anymore. So we were able to move that to where we're at now, which has been fantastic, being able to be a part of the Bible school again, back teaching in the Bible school, but just given an opportunity to see, again, lives firsthand change for the glory of God by sitting and listening to the Word of God. And the Bible school has been wonderful, but it was very different. My idea when I was going to bring the Bible school was I wanted to reach out to those displaced people that have come over. Because the Bible school is in English, I had no interest or thought of doing it in French. All the curriculum's in English, everything was done in English. So I thought this could be a great outreach for the ministry to reach out for those that have been displaced, that are in need. But then we were blessed with a secretary. She was French-speaking, but she speaks wonderful English. And she said, well, don't leave the Francophones out of it. Us French speakers, we have a desire too. There's no Bible school in Mbuda area, and we really want this Bible school as well. So I sat down with her and I said, okay, but everything's in English. We're going to have to start translating. So Google Translate became my friend instantly. I started just downloading the documents, and then she spent hours on end looking over the Google Translate, correcting the grammatical errors, and translating everything into the French so that we could open up the Bible school for both French and English speakers, which has been fantastic. And we're actually, it's almost divided right in the middle. We're like 50% English speakers, 50% French speakers, so it's been really wonderful. It's changed because I'm so used to now speaking and then pausing, letting somebody speak, and then speaking again and pausing, letting someone speak. So having a microphone all to myself is kind of weird, not looking and waiting for somebody and listening to them to see if that was translated correctly. But it's been wonderful being able to restart the Bible school there and seeing the growth and what God's doing through the school there. Currently, we actually have 18 students, and we range from pretty much, we have pastors, we have teachers, government workers, we have nurses, we have carpenters, we have just the everyday person, farmers, things like that. Basically, what we want in our Bible school is just open up the doors to anybody and everybody that is willing to come and they want to hear the Word of God. We're not putting any restrictions on them, nothing. We just want to open the doors and say, hey, come and let's just sit and grow together. Let's learn the Word of God together. And it was interesting because one of the testimonies I'd like to share with you this morning is about a young man named Roderick. He actually goes to our church. Him and his wife were also displaced from the Baminda area. Before they were actually married, they never even known each other. They're in this town. They met, got married. So a young couple. He just got saved, I think, a year before we moved there. So new in the Lord. And he came to me when he heard their Bible school was open. He said, hey, I want to come to Bible school. But he said, Pastor Jake, he calls me Pastor Jake, I have a problem. I can't read or write. And I said, well, why does that really matter? If you're eager and ready to learn the Word of God, let's try it out. So when I said that, then I thought, well, if he can't read or write, how's he going to study? How's he going to prepare exams? How's he going to do all this? And so we sat down with my secretary, and I said, okay, hey, we got somebody here that's illiterate, but he wants to learn the Word of God, and we don't want to deny him that fact of doing it. So we record our classes, actually, and then they send him out on WhatsApp, and he'll sit there and listen to the class over and over again. If there's a scripture to memorize, his wife will help him with that. For exams and things, he comes in earlier, sits with my secretary in the office, and she'll read the question out to him, and he has to answer it, which I'm just blown away, because if I had to do that, I think it would be hard to have someone read something. It'd almost be intimidating, and I would like forget more than maybe I would know. But he's just been really a rock star in everything he's been doing and just really going for it and wanting to learn the Word of God. So it's been sweet. It's been wonderful. Just on his expression on desiring to learn about God and wanting to hear that Word. And just how hard he's pushing to do that. It challenges me as a believer that can read and write and that can do these things, that it challenges me to push that much harder to study and learn the Word of God as well. So I'm encouraged by his dedication, his walk with the Lord. And even though he can't read and write, he's actually beginning to work on that now to further his education as well. So it's wonderful. So we actually finished our first year in this location, and we've seen God's faithfulness through it all. Like I said, we didn't really know what was going to go on during that time with the transition and everything, but it's been so wonderful seeing these students hungry to study the Word of God, seeing culture, seeing traditions being broken because of what the word of God is all about. So I actually have a small little video I want to share, and then Holly's going to come up and share about the orphanage as well a bit, but a short little video that Jordan put together for us. Oh, she's in the back. And it just kind of, it's actually a promo video we made for the Bible school. So it's not really for the church, but it kind of gives you an idea of what the Bible school looks like. So over to you, Jordan. Over to you, Jordan.
Hello, everyone. I'm called Alakmago Toke Ashlowi, secretary at Abundant Life Bible College. Abundant Life Bible College is an evening school where we study and take the life given by the scripture to put it in practice in our own life. Abundant Life Bible College has been a blessing to my life and my family. Since I entered Abundant Life Bible College, many things have changed in my life. I've improved personally, especially spiritually, with the lessons. My mind has been opened on many aspects of life. And I can say my way of serving God today is no longer the same I used to serve Him. So I'm very happy, very, very happy. And I thank Pastor Jake for the vision. I thank all the teachers, all the students who took part in Abundant Life Bible College. And I say, if anybody wishes to come to Abundant Life College, I encourage him, because it's a place to be. If you want to know more about God, this is the place you need to be. Thanks, everybody.
And one thing Jake didn't mention there was that we have local pastors that also share. Jake's one of the teachers, but then local pastors from many different denominations. So it's been a real great way to get to know many different churches in town and help unite them. And so it's been really wonderful. So, okay, I wanted to give you a quick update on Helping Hands Children's Home. We founded Helping Hands Children's Home in 2009. So now we're kind of getting to the season where we're having kids that are finishing university, even have, you know, been in the home for the last 15 years, pretty much, or longer than 15 years under the Helping Hands care. So it's kind of a new season. We have new kids coming in, and we have older kids graduating out and going on to their life after Helping Hands Children's Home, which is pretty exciting. It's really wonderful. So I wanted just to share a few testimonies of some kids, how they're doing and how they're moving up and moving forward in life. So I think I've shared about Sandrine before. This is little Sandrine when we got her. I believe she came to Helping Hands in 2009. She was 4 or 5 years old. She had cerebral palsy, and because of her disability, she was severely neglected. She couldn't walk. She was in the village just crawling around in the dirt, basically. And her village name was actually Worthless. That's what they called her. There was a blind grandfather that was helping to look after her, but really there was nobody taking very good care of her at all. So when she came to the children's home, she quickly learned to walk. She had a little walker, her legs got strong. Then she went to the hospital and spent quite a long time there as they fitted her with like Forrest Gump braces, helped straighten her legs out. She had a couple of operations. This is her when she's still little. Look how cute she is. And I would say within a couple of years, she was walking pretty well. We have a little video here. I think this is when, yeah, her legs are pretty much straight. She knows how cute she is. Look at that. And now Sandrine has grown up. She's become a beautiful young lady. You can barely tell she has a limp. Like, it's really incredible how well she has progressed. And she, last year or year and a half ago, she started like an apprenticeship at a hairdresser's, learning to do hair and nails. And she just completed that this summer. It's what she wanted to do. And the children's home has been in contact with her family. There's a grandmother that has been around and been in contact, some aunts and uncles. This is in the white, is the pastor that told us about Sandrine, first of all, and told us that she needs help. So it's just really wonderful. Like, this was our goal when we opened Helping Hands, was to find children that are, you know, in desperate need, that really need help. There's no other family that's taking care of them. And then raise them up in a loving home, a Christ-centered home, and give them a hope and a future, you know. And she's ready to go now. She's gone back to live with her grandma in the village. We're checking up on her, helping her to start a small business out in the village. And she really is just doing wonderful. So we just praise God. Because of people like you supporting us, you've invested in this young girl's life. We don't know where she would be if she hadn't come to Helping Hands. And she loves the Lord, and she's a beautiful singer, dancer, so that's our Sandrine. I don't know if there's any more of Sandrine. I think that was the last one. Next, I have Little Promise, who came to us at 10 days old, I believe. She was teeny tiny. Her mother died when she was giving birth out in the village. And then generally, Cameroonians will take babies in. Somebody will look after them. If another mother's nursing, they will look after her. But for some reason, that didn't happen with Promise. People called us up from the village and said, this baby's going to die if somebody doesn't take her. So we brought Little Promise in. She was teeny tiny, but she quickly caught up and got some strength and some energy and grew very quickly. She always has the cutest smile on her face. And Promise just graduated out of primary school, which is elementary school. That's her right now. She's going off into secondary school, which is middle school, high school, I guess, the equivalent. And I mean, in Cameroon, you have to wear school uniforms. So like the boys, when they're in primary school, elementary school, they have to wear shorts. And then when you move up, you get to wear long trousers. So even though she has to wear a skirt, we say that she's wearing long trousers now because she's gone up, long pants in her class. So really wonderful to see what the Lord is doing in Little Promise's life. And then some of you might have heard that we welcomed triplets into the children's home this year, which I was thinking, I don't think I've ever met triplets before in my entire life. So it's pretty cool that I got to meet them in Cameroon. And amazingly, their names are God Will, God Heart, and God Love. They are three precious boys who have been living in the village. Their mother passed away last year, and they have an older sister who was, once again, struggling to look after them. They were pretty much just working in the farm every day, not able to go to school, not eating properly. And they were brought into the home a couple of months ago now, and they have the chance to go to school. They're sleeping on a real bed for the first time, having, you know, running water for the first time. And they are just doing fantastic. The staff tell us it's like they've always been there at the home. They've just totally just transitioned wonderfully into the home and just good buddies with all the other boys that are here. So it's really wonderful. We praise God that the Lord opened up the door to bring these children into our home. So we have big kids moving out. We have two kids graduating out of university this year. We have two more kids going into university this year. A couple of kids moving up to schools. Another one finishing apprenticeship. So we just praise God that our staff are doing a fantastic job raising these kids. We're so happy we can be close to them. We can see them. I can see them pretty much every month now. Jake can see them as he goes in and out. So, yeah, it's really wonderful to see how the Lord is continuing to bless and use Helping Hands Children's Home.
And again, this is, I mean, these are lives being changed because of partnership, right? Like, so again, thank you so much for being a part of what is going on in Cameroon. We know that not everybody can be there, right? So it's wonderful that we can be there, and it's wonderful that you guys can be there as well, the way you're supporting and sponsoring and partnering with us. So we believe in the power of partnership. So thanks again so much to the church. So as we finish up here, I just want to share a little bit in the Word as well. Just get in the Word and chew on it a bit. Give us a challenge, give myself a challenge, and things like that. So let's pray before we go in. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, just for what you're doing in Cameroon, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have, Father God, to participate in this work that you're doing, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for this church that gets to participate in the work that's going on in Cameroon, Father God. We thank you because we know, as we've sung this morning, Father God, you are so good. You're so faithful. You're so kind, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord, for that goodness, that faithfulness, that kindness, that greatness, Lord, that follows us, Lord. Wherever we go, Father God, that we can present your gospel, that we can share your love, that we can just pour out, Lord, that we can show off for you, Father God, and who you are in our lives, Father God, because of that victory that you've given us. So, Lord, we're just grateful for you, Lord. We just say thank you so much. Be with us as we look into your word now, Lord, that we'll just have open hearts, open minds, Lord, to hear from you, God. So we just love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning I'd like to just share with you quickly on something I believe that's very close to God's heart. Actually, I believe it's God's heartbeat, and that's missions. I'm not wanting just to share it because we're missionaries and we're coming back, and that's what you should share about is missions, but I thought it's very appropriate for the times that we're living in and what missions is all about and what is our calling, what are we responsible for in this life, not just missionaries overseas, but here at Victory Christian Fellowship, what are we individually responsible for? And so what I want to talk about is not only about missions, but about how the world desperately needs Jesus. How this world needs a Savior, how this world needs somebody to rescue them more than ever before. The world is longing for hope. They're longing for love. They're longing for truth. And I believe as Christians, we have that responsibility. We have that calling on our lives to be that light in the darkness. And so that's going to be my challenge this morning to you guys as we look into the Word. And I want to just share a couple things with you, but I want to really acknowledge what is really going on around us. And folks, the world is hurting. The world is lost. There's pain, there's confusion, there's despair, there's division. There's just so many things. The list can go on and on, and there's so many things going on. And I believe this is the time for the church to rise up, as believers to rise up and share the love of Christ with those people that are looking. They're searching for meaning and purpose in life, but so many times they're looking for it in the wrong places. And I believe we have the answer for them, right? And the answer always is and always will be Jesus. And so we have that responsibility. And Jesus declared, I think I got scriptures I'll throw up on there. Jordan will help me this morning. But Jesus declared in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, without Jesus, true hope can't be found. Without Jesus, true love, true joy, true whatever cannot be found. And too many people are living without the hope of salvation. And God is looking on us. He's looking to us to fill that gap, to reach out to those people. And the world needs Jesus, not just in overseas. Like I said, we're missionaries. We're over in Cameroon. But he's looking for, people need Jesus here in Lynchburg, Virginia as well. They need it in our schools, our workplaces, our families. Wherever we go, they need Jesus. So my question for you this morning is, what role do we play? Where do we fit? Where do I come into all of this? Where do I fit into all of this? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16 says this, or Jesus tells you and I, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, as believers, we are called to reflect that light into this dark world. When we started the Bible school, I was talking to our students. I think I was teaching an Old Testament survey or something. And we were talking about being a light in the darkness. And typically in Cameroon, because we're an evening Bible school, lights would cut off and we would be in complete darkness. So we'd light our candles and whatnot. Thankfully, we praise God, we've had some people that have given towards solar. So our school is completely on solar now. So we're off the grid and we can have light. But one night I flipped the light switch off on purpose. And I said, what is the way? How do we disperse this darkness? And somebody said, you turn the light switch on. You flip the light switch on. And that's what this life is all about. It's outside of these walls. It's a dark world out there. And all we need to do as believers is turn on a little light. We need to shine. We need, as Holly was singing, show off Jesus in our life. Show what he's done to us, or done for us, right? It's about being a light. It's not about just our personal relationship with Jesus, not just about building my own self in him, but about sharing that with others, sharing what we found in him, what we gained in him. And, you know, being a light is also about actively pursuing somebody or something, actively pursuing, being intentional about sharing his goodness, being intentional to share that grace, that love, that mercy that we found in Christ, so that Jesus can see, or people can see Jesus in us. Now, when I go to like a gas station, we've been traveling around quite a bit since we've been back these last couple months. I think we've put over 12,000 miles on our car so far. And just going into a gas station, do I go into that gas station with the mindset of being intentional of sharing Jesus? And it's like it's challenging myself too, that even just going simply to a gas station, filling up gas or whatever, just shining that light, letting people know that there's something different about me, there's something different about us. And we're talking about missions today. We're talking that Jesus, or the world needs Jesus more than ever. So whether we go to Cameroon, and I want to say, by the way, since we're out of the danger zone, we're established again in a new town. We're starting to have teams in Cameroon, so hint, hint. We would love to have a team from VCF out in Cameroon. We're having two teams coming this year, so it's awesome to see that coming. But whether you go to Cameroon or you're right here in your local area, or your local communities, we're all part of God's mission. We're all called to be a part of God's mission. And we've all heard, or most of us probably heard, of the Great Commission. Actually, Pete was talking to us today, and there's a mission or a goal or a project going on. What was it called again? Mission 2033 or something like that? To have everybody hear the gospel by the year 2033. And that would be like the landmark of 2033 years since the Great Commission was established, basically. So hopefully we've all heard that Great Commission. But it's in Matthew 28:19, and it commands us and says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." And this is sharing the gospel. This is sharing the good news of Jesus to everyone that we come in contact, to those that are around us, no matter where we go, no matter what we do. Sharing with them what he's done in our lives. Sharing our transformation. You know, I believe each of us have a story to give. And we've heard people's stories in the church, and we love hearing how people became a Christian. We have a story to share with people, and we need to let love shine. We need to let people know who we are because of what Christ. But being intentional, living out our faith boldly and sharing it with others, trusting that God's going to use our efforts because of what he's done through us or in us to bring others into his kingdom. So as we close this morning, I want us to remember that the world needs Jesus more than ever. The world needs Jesus more than ever. And Jesus and God is looking to us, the church, to be that light, to shine that light out, to not hide it under a bushel. I remember singing that "This Little Light of Mine" song, hide under a bushel. Oh no, like he wants our light to shine. He wants us to stand out. He wants us to show off for him and illuminate that darkness with his love. So this morning I want to leave us with two questions or two things to think about. And the first thing is, how can I be more intentional about sharing Jesus? How can me, myself, not your neighbor, not the person sitting, not your husband, not your wife, how can I be more intentional about sharing Jesus? And then secondly, who in my life, who can I target, who can I pick out that needs to hear about this Jesus? Who in my life? And that's my challenge with you this morning, is to challenge yourself is, how can I be more intentional, and who can I target this week, this day, tomorrow, this month, who can I target to really pour out and share Jesus with them? And as we end here, I'd like to again thank everybody again for your support, for your prayers, for what you do for us. And last year, I think a year and some months now, I came back actually in August, so some of you heard or probably heard about it as well on Facebook, but I had a pretty horrific bike accident, motorcycle accident with my son. And I believe myself and my son, I hope I don't cry, stand here alive today because of the faithful prayer of those that were backing us while we were over in Cameroon. I mean, the way it happened, we truly shouldn't be standing here today. We shouldn't be alive. And coming out minimally scratched up or banged up or broken up or whatever, it's wonderful to see and know that we have faithful people like you guys praying for us and encouraging us and being there for us. So can't say it enough, but we appreciate you guys. We love you, Pastor. We love you, church. This is home to us. So, whew, really appreciate it. So we believe in the power of prayer, obviously. If you want to see us after service, we'll be around. We have new prayer cards. Please take a prayer card. They're magnetic. You can stick it on your car. You can stick it on your refrigerator, your laundry machine. Whatever's magnetic, please stick it up. Be praying for us. And we appreciate and love you guys so, so much. So thank you so much. And I believe that was all that I had on this agenda this morning. So thank you, guys. And over to you, Pastor.
Thank you.